You're listening to Jedi and Germs, a weekly podcast brought to you by the Torn by Sports Podcast Network and blogtalkradio.com. I'm Alan Zog, the Jedi. He's John English, the Germs guy. Hello, John.
Hello, Alan.
Hello, Devin.
Hello, fellas.
Devin's in a good mood tonight. This could be a lot of fun.
It's always fun.
Hiya, fellas.
Are we going a little Pinocchio there, John? Hmm?
Mickey Mouse.
Oh wait, Mickey Mouse. Sorry, and I wasn't even right with Pinocchio either. It was more Jiminy the Cricket, but it might be good for both. All right, forget it. Epic fail.
On.
Thank you, Alan.
All right. Utah Jazz, the most injured team in the NBA, are still 48-30.
And
they went 3-1 this week. They might before we go any further. Yes, they only have 4 games to go. Yes, they could still get the 4 seed, but the injuries. Have you heard anything on Dante Exum since he had to leave the game early?
I heard what was it? Post game or read post game where talking to him, I think Tony Jones posted last night that after the game they talked to him, and Dante is confident that he will be well by Friday or by whenever they play next. Is that Friday or Thursday, whenever it is?
Friday.
Is it Friday?
Yeah. It is Friday.
So, good. Last thing I saw was that he was questionable, but it seems like it's 2 days away from being questionable means you're probably going to play.
And I don't want to quote Tony wrong, so I'm just going to say the last I checked, I thought that's what it said. I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure that's what I saw.
I'll say it. I checked my sources, and my sources say that he is probable.
Oh, wow. Probable instead of questionable.
Yes, he's probably going to play.
Okay, all right. So continue with your initial thought.
Well, my initial thought was they were so injured and Portland was so hot that even though Portland had lost Nurkic, it would be a close game because the Jazz are missing so many players. And the Jazz just dominated the Blitz. Dante Exum was back to his old defending self on Damian Lillard. All kinds of guys stepped up and, you know, it was heartwarming to see. And so, you know, even with still feel pretty good about them managing to holding on to home court. They have this home game coming up against Minnesota. Sounds like Dante will play. Even if Hill and Favors and Neto are still missing, they should be able to win that one. And then on the road against Portland, it's always tougher on the road, but I still feel good about their chances. And then Warriors, hopefully they'll be resting their players, although I saw that they want to get Kevin Durant some regular season games before the playoffs, so even if the Warriors rest some of their players, Kevin Durant is probably going to play in that game. So that's not too great. And then their final is a home game against the Spurs, and that feels pretty likely they're going to be resting players. So it does look like they should be able to win 2 of those. 3 will be tough. I really, really doubt all 4. But if they go 2-2, they're 50-30. That's probably 50-32. That's probably not enough to get home court. So they really need that third win somewhere, and they need the Clippers to stumble somewhere. And it looks like the Clippers are not going to stumble against the Mavs tonight. So the Jazz need to get that advantage somewhere else.
Well, and I'm going to stick it out there. I still think that 50 will be enough for home court. I am not convinced that the Clippers will get to 50. I expect them to stumble somewhere in the final 4 games themselves.
Mm. Well, if they win tonight, they're at 48.
Right.
And their last 3 games are at Spurs, home with Houston, home with Sacramento. I figure the Sacramento is a gimme. Spurs, I don't know if the Spurs are going to play to win that game or not. Spurs just lost to the Lakers tonight. Spurs are doing some major phoning in here at the end of the season.
And they might as well.
So they just don't know.
Yeah, they have nothing to play for. The Spurs will not catch Golden State, period. And after tonight, they definitely won't catch them. But they weren't going to prior to that. I mean, they'd have to win out and Golden State would have to lose all of their final games. And we've already seen that. I mean, after tonight, that's a given. Golden State's number 1. Spurs are number 2. That's not going to change. So I don't expect the Spurs to really care much what happens in the final 3-4 games.
I hope they try to beat the Clippers, but at this point you can't really count on it. And the truth is, Rockets might be resting some players when they play the Clippers. So it is, I see a very easy path for the Clippers to win out just because of the way, you know, teams are at the end of the season with resting guys.
Yeah, but we've also seen how up and down the Clippers have been over the last 2 months. I don't want to set well on that one yet either. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah, they did lose to the Kings right after they beat the Jazz, but they've won out since. They beat the Wizards, who are not trying to lose, and well, then their next games were Suns and Lakers. But
right,
yeah, they're it's halftime right now against Mavericks. They're up by 8. It would be really cool if the Mavs could pull off this win for us, but
right,
I wouldn't count on it.
No, I still think the magical number is 50. I am still holding. In fact, I by the time that people are listening to this, I'll probably have a piece out at tornbysports.com. Amazing. I write something once in a while, and I will have something written where I think that the magical number is 50, and I think the Jazz will have home court with 50 wins. That's just me. And, you know, I'll let you guys know. I got a kick out of things today. I was listening to episode, I think it was 86 of our show, where we went the over-unders on the Vegas odds. If you want to get a real kick out of what we thought of the upcoming season, you should go back and listen. So we were not far off on some of our picks, and then some of the others we were, I mean, Dallas for one, we completely shot it on, and then Portland. Devin tried to convince us to believe in Portland this year, and obviously that didn't work out. In fact, we all picked the over, and look at where they're at. Anyway, it was really funny. If you want to hear something funny, go back and listen to that episode. But we all talked about the fact that we felt the Jazz would be over when it came to 47 games this year. They're already over that, and all three of us said that 50 was it. We were going to get to 50 or more. And we're just about there.
Yeah, and the thing with the Jazz is in games where they are missing no starters or only one of their starters, they're 32-13. And that is a 58 win season right there.
Yep.
So if they could have just had some health.
No, I agree.
It would have been a much different season.
Absolutely. So and just to think the fact that they did go the season like that, that they only played 13 games with their starting five and they're still approaching 50, that's pretty impressive. That's an impressive job that Quinn's put together as head coach.
So. Yeah, did you listen to Locke's episode? He was talking about how the Pelicans were the IT team last year, but they had injuries and they fell apart last season.
I didn't catch that episode. I need
saying,
to go back.
He's saying that's, yeah, it, he's talking about how they had all these hopes and then they had injuries early and the team just fell apart. And he's contrasting it with how the Jazz didn't do it this year. And the thing with the Jazz, I think the main reason they did not fall apart is because Rudy Gobert and Gordon Hayward were able to be healthy most of the year. When Hayward was out, they still had everybody else pretty much, and they were able to do okay. And then when Rudy only missed one game. So I think because those two guys were able to be stalwarts and because the team was as deep as it was, they were able to overcome a lot of that. And so even when they're missing a ton of guys, I mean, they were, let's see, 16-17 when they're missing at least two starters. You know, most teams are, you know, more, they're more like, you know, 10-20 if you're missing two or more starters. So Jazz were almost 500 missing two or more starters. I think that's a credit to Quinn Snyder. And then when they did have their starters, I haven't bounced out what 11-2 is. So that's kind of a small sample size, but you know, that's over 60 wins. If you have all your starters and you have a record like that.
Yeah. If I tried to do it earlier, the math earlier today, you go 11-2, I think that 11-2 would put the Jazz right around this.
Let's see. That would be a winning percentage of 846.
Yeah, it's about 68, 69 wins, I think.
Well, I can do that real quick. Yeah, 69 wins.
Yeah, that's what I did the
when
math
they have
on.
All of their starters, They're good enough to be a 69-win team.
Yeah. Again, 11-2 was a small sample size, but that's blowing it out over 82 games. That's pretty impressive if that were the case.
Yeah.
So, okay. So, we talked about the remaining schedule. You're right. I don't think they win four. 3-1 would be optimal, but 2-2 will take. Let's go look ahead to the playoff race, and I want to get to the East for a moment, but let's start with the West. There's only two teams left to decide one spot. You have, of the other 15, 16 teams, you have your 1-7 decided, and you have your 10 through 16, whatever, already eliminated. So you have Denver and Portland fighting for the final spot.
Yeah, and there was some implications tonight.
Denver lost, I believe.
Yeah, Nuggets lost. Blazers play tonight. I don't think they played tonight.
No, I don't think so.
It's the eighth spot is still the Blazers to lose, and they're still going to be motivated when they play the Jazz. But that it's nice for them that they have this full game, a one game lead on the Nuggets.
When is that game against the Jazz again? Is it next week?
Yeah. Jazz, I think it's Sunday.
That game may not mean anything because I believe Portland and Denver play each other once more. If I looked at the schedule, right? I can't remember. No.
I'm on Denver's page. Denver. Let's see. They lost to the Rockets tonight. So Denver still has Pelicans, the Thunder. Thunder's going to be motivated. Then at Dallas, and then at the Thunder again.
That's right.
Thunder might not be motivated in that last game, but they will be in the Sunday game because the Thunder, Thunder only two games behind Clippers for fifth right now, so they're gonna want to see if they can't jump up into that fifth spot.
Agreed. And Portland, I believe by the time they get around to the Jazz, I mean, they're a game up on Denver right now. If they can win the next game or two and you see Denver drop one, that game against the Jazz suddenly on Sunday might not be that big a deal. They may have locked in number eight by then.
Well, let's look at Portland. Portland, they play Minnesota tomorrow. Oh, they have four home games.
Yeah.
Yeah, Portland really controls their destiny. Minnesota, Jazz, Spurs, and Pelicans. And the Spurs might give it to them. So that last Jazz game might be the only competitive game left on their schedule. That's funny.
Yeah.
So, Portland, they could finish, what are they now, 30, 38?
Yes.
So Portland, even if they lose that Jazz game, they're 41-41. That means Denver has to win every single game left. And
they're not going to.
They're not going to. No, I don't see how they beat the Thunder.
Yeah, I could see them beat them once, but I don't think they beat them twice.
Portland can still afford to lose to the Jazz again and still make the playoffs.
The crazy thing about Portland is that they're hobbling in, injured a little bit too. I mean, as good a team as they are, and even watching them play the Jazz last night, you can tell Nurkic was a body they missed last night. And not having Nurkic come playoff time might not be a good thing for them. Not that it matters. They're playing Golden State in the first round. They're going to lose, but still.
Now, I saw that, they were going to reevaluate him.
Right.
Actually, I'm not even going to finish that. They'll reevaluate him next week. They're going to hope that reevaluation says that he can come back in the playoffs, but man. Probably not.
Yeah, I'm not expecting it.
They're the eight seed. They're going to get swept by the Warriors, so it doesn't really matter.
Exactly. They'll get swept by the Warriors, and then the Jazz or the Clippers will face the Warriors in the second round. Yippee skippy. Just hear my excitement about that one. Anyway. All right, let's look at the East.
Tonight was the most important game, I think, in the East was the Cavs-Celtics face-off for the top seed. And you think LeBron wants the number one seed? I think he does.
I think so, too.
Cavs killed the Celtics tonight.
Did they?
They killed him. If I remember right, it was the largest win margin the Cavs have ever had in Boston.
All right. Well,
they won by 23 points.
Wow. All right. I want to. We'll get more of that in NBA Rapid Fire. But let's talk about the rest of the East is shaping up, because I believe 5 through 8 is still up for grabs, isn't it?
It is. In fact, 7, 8, and 9 are all tied. So Chicago, Miami, and Indiana are all sitting at 38 and 40 right now. Let's see if any of them are in the middle of a game right now. No, not right now. So that's how that's going to be sitting. And, you know, Bulls, they don't have Wade. They thought they're going to lose him for the rest of the season. Maybe if they make the playoffs, Wade will try to reevaluate. I don't know. I don't remember. But Atlanta has been in free fall. They are just acting like they don't really care. They're at 6th. But they're only a game and a half ahead of those other guys. And so Bucks have lost their last two, but they're still 5th seed at 40 and 38. Well, so your top 4 teams in the East are well above everybody else. And that is one playoff set where I would expect 1, 2, 3, and 4 to win their first series handily in all of them.
And you're going to see this really shape up here in the next couple of days, because tomorrow or today, when folks are listening, the Bulls will be playing the Sixers. The Pacers and the Bucks will face off. Atlanta's going to be going up against the Celtics, who I'm thinking are going to want a little bit of redemption from tonight's fiasco. Friday, you've got mm-hmm. the Heat playing the Raptors. So, I mean, there's going to be, I mean, just in the next couple days,
every game's got playoff implications right
now.
The
Bulls are the only one that really seem to have one that's kind of a gimme in the Sixers. And let's be honest, you never know what's going to happen with those teams that have absolutely nothing to lose.
Agreed.
Well, and then, with the Raptors and the Wizards, they're only a half game apart. So they're both motivated to get that third seed.
Well, and you have all of these rankings up in front of your standings in front of you. I looked at them earlier today. The Western Conference 1 through 7 still has better your East teams, I think 6 through 9 are worse than the top 7 teams in the West still. Is it 6 through 9? I think.
Well, the Hawks are 6th and they're 39 and 38.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that would be 8th in the West.
Yeah, it would. So you've got 7 teams in the West that are better than the bottom, you know, from 6 through 9 in the East. And then if the Blazers and Nuggets were in the East right now, they both would be vying for that 7th seed. I mean, that's just, once again, we have a very imbalanced East versus West. Big time. So,
yeah, I mean, the Grizzlies have been in free fall, but they locked in the playoffs a week ago. But if the Grizzlies lose out and the Blazers win out, then they'll be tied.
Wow.
But that's what's required. So,
and they're still better than the 6 through 9 seeds in the East right now, pretty much.
Yeah. Yeah. 7, 8, 9, they would have to win out just to do that, because they're all 38 and 40.
All right. So we don't know how the East is going to shape up yet. I think the West, you know, a little jockeying 4, 5, and 6, although I'm still of the opinion I don't think that'll change much. So I think the West matchups are all but set. I think we're just waiting on Portland, but I really do think the West matchups are pretty much what we see right now is what we're going to get. So
I hope they're set. I'd really like that home court advantage.
Oh, I agree. But I mean, even if we don't get a home court advantage, I'm saying the matchups are set.
And the Jazz are... they're only like one game away from clinching the division title. And I know division doesn't mean much, but when's the last time the Jazz won the division?
2009?
9 years?
Yeah, it's been a while. Well, I'm trying to think back. I mean, the last time the Jazz won at this many games, I mean, they won 43 games, Ty Corbin's second year, and didn't make the playoffs that year. Do you remember that? So, and here,
that was when you knew that the Jazz were going to blow things up.
Yeah. 43 and 39 that year, they missed the playoffs by a game. The prior year they made the playoffs in a shortened season and got swept. So this is the first time they'll be at 50 in quite a while. And like you said, I mean, yeah, this is a good time to be a Jazz fan. It really is. So, all right, let's move on now to NBA Rapid Fire.
Mm-hmm. We talked about the Cavs and the Celtics. I do want to touch a little more on just the way the East is stacking up and where the injuries are putting people.
Okay.
Cleveland has had in and out injuries, but it looks like they are all healthy and back together, and they've won four in a row, and I think they are going to keep that momentum going until they get into the playoffs. Probably rest some guys that last game or two, but that depends on where the Celtics sit. I think they want to make sure they have home court, even though they probably don't need it because they're that good. But, you know, this has been a team where I don't think they expected to be sitting at 51-27 right about here. I think they would have thought that they would have had 57-ish wins right about now.
Probably.
And they've had to like re-examine some things. So I expect them to try to keep the momentum. Celtics, they'll keep that 2 seed, and I think they'll be happy to do so. And then you're going to have Toronto and Washington really fighting it out to try to get that 3rd seed just so that they don't have to face the Cavs until the finals. Go ahead.
I was going to say, back to Cleveland, Boston, you think that Cleveland will get the number 1 seed. My question is, after tonight's win, who has the tiebreaker in that season series?
They're 2-2, so it would go to other factors.
Right. Okay. All right. I'd be interested to see how that stacks up in those other factors. But no, I when it came down to it, I think we've been saying for the last couple of weeks that we felt like Cleveland would hang on to that top spot. So,
yeah, I don't have the tiebreaker in front of me. I think it goes to, if they're in the same division wins, and or then it goes to like conference wins. And
I think so.
There's like 7 or 8 scenarios. And, you know, if they finish with the exact same record, then you're going to have to go 2 or 3 deep to figure out what the tiebreaker is.
Okay. All right. So, and then you said Washington and Toronto fighting for the 3-4. And then past the top four.
Five through nine is a free for all.
Yeah, I was going to say, past the top four, does it really matter much in the East? Because I don't know that any of those teams
are franchises. Yes, but no, not really.
Yeah, exactly.
I guess, you know, if the Bucks could make things interesting, just because Greek Freak's been really good, and they have Chris Middleton back, and although they lost Parker, they've been injury plagued in their own right. I mean, that would be interesting, but they're all gonna. You know, when I look at the Hawks and the Bulls, well, maybe the Heat. You know, I've been surprised at how the Heat have been able to pull this off anyway. If they make the playoffs, I could see them still wanting to make things interesting. We could have a Cavs Heat first round matchup. And even though most of the Heat guys are gone, the ones who are still there from the LeBron days are going to be motivated. Spo's going to be motivated. So that could still be fun. It would be close. I still think they'd get swept, but it'd at least be fun.
Right. No, I think so too. You know, yeah, I don't know. I'm curious who comes out of the East is the real question. I mean, at the beginning of the season, I think we all had agreed Cleveland does. Is there any reason to believe that Boston or Toronto or Washington really gives Cleveland much of a fight going deep into the playoffs at all?
I don't think Cleveland will sweep the 2nd round.
I don't think so either.
Whoever they face. Let's say it's Washington. I think Washington will put up a good fight. I like their guards against Cleveland's guards. And Otto Porter has been like the unsung hero down there. So I think if they in the 2nd round, it'll be more like Cavs in 6 type situation.
Yeah.
But I would still take the Cavs over the field in the East.
Yeah, I agree. And assuming they're healthy and chemistry's back together, I mean, you get You get J.R. Smith playing well. You get Kevin Love playing well. Suddenly you got Darren Williams coming off the bench as a point guard, you know, backup point guard. And you can run all sorts of different looks at other teams with him on the floor. Could be very interesting for the Cavs in the East.
Yep. Other topic I wanted to go over on this was the return of Kevin Durant.
Okay.
The Warriors haven't necessarily needed Kevin Durant to return. They've now won 12 in a row. And looks like they're about to win 13. Durant playing tonight? No. I think they're bringing him back in the next game. So, you know, this is one where they could easily just say, Durant, you know what, we can just wait until the playoffs. But I think it's important for them to get some rotation, get some repetitions with his teammates in the regular season, get him back into shape a little bit that way, and then they'll be ready for the playoffs.
Right now, they are hot.
But that's, yeah. Well, 12 in a row. That's the definition of hot.
Yes. And in fact, Steph Curry has been incredible.
Yeah, they're in the third quarter against Phoenix right now, and Curry's already got 30 points, 9 assists.
What's the score? It was 58-52 at half. What is it now?
Oh, it's 82-74.
Still an 8-point game. Close.
They're letting Phoenix hang in this. I wonder what's going on there. But I'm sure they'll prevail in the end.
And Steph had 28 at half.
Devin Booker is 6 of 20.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Yeah. Freedom to shoot.
Yep. All right. So, yeah, I'm going to see how they integrate. I'm going to be interested to see how they integrate Durant back in. I agree. I think they would want to play him down the stretch here to get him warm and ready. I don't know how you want to integrate him back in the playoffs without giving him some time on the court ahead of time. So I'm in agreement with you on that. I think all eyes are going to be on that situation. I think everybody assumed that, a lot of people assume that Durant being back and all of a sudden they're going to be just fine. And I think they've been fine without him. I'm going to be interested to see how they do and how healthy he is when he plays. So
me too.
Go ahead, Devin. You're making a weird look.
No, I'm not.
Yes, you are.
I'm not, and I'm not curious how Durant's going to do. He's going to be just fine. He's an MVP. He's a, 12-time All-Star.
Coming back from one of those injuries that's not easy to come back from.
He's fine.
Okay. All
right. It's the Warriors. It's not like he's coming back into a team that he has to carry.
I know. Hey, I'm just playing, you know, shout out to Sean who listens to us, and he always hates it when I give him a hard time about the Warriors, and we pick on the Warriors. So he's gonna pat your back this week and tell you thanks for getting his back. But I'm just playing devil's advocate here for a minute. That's all.
I could play for the Warriors, and I'd be just fine.
All right, fine. You can't be any worse than Ian Clark.
That's not nice. That's not nice to Ian Clark. Ian Clark did nothing to you.
Ian Clark is shooting 40% from three this year.
I know, and I'm not picking on Ian Clark.
What would you call it?
I would call it not picking on Ian Clark.
You can't be any worse than Ian Clark.
Hey, I like Ian. I am not picking on him. It was, okay, take it out of context. It's fine.
You should say your comparison should have been Anderson Varejão.
All right, fine. You couldn't be any worse than Anderson Varejão. There you go, Devin.
I can't argue with that one.
Okay, fine. Anderson Varejão. Sorry, Ian Clark. I love you. Okay. Anything else on Rapid Fire you want to cover?
He's not listening.
Nope.
Ian Clark listens.
He's not there.
Dude, we're bros, man.
He already hung up.
We're bros. He listens.
He unplugged. We're done.
Dang, we're going to have Ian Clark, and then Alan just blew it.
Great. All right, fine. All right, let's move on to listener questions. Did we have any this week?
I forgot to ask, so let's go to the next one.
Oh, very well. Good job. All right.
If someone asks in the next few minutes, I'll bring it up. But yeah, I forgot to solicit. So,
oh, wouldn't you know it? Wouldn't you know it? I see that you just tweeted it out now. So we'll see if anybody responds. We'll come back to that subject.
It's like a live version of Jedi and Germs.
Yes, exactly. Okay, Devin, quick hits.
I did about as much as John did for listener questions. So let's wing it here. Russell Westbrook tied the triple-double record yesterday. and he fell one assist short today. Is there any doubt in your mind that he is going to break that record before the season is over? I think that he has, what, like 3 games left? Is that where we were at?
Yeah, he will break it.
By one? Does he have a couple left in the tank? Do they rest him?
No, because they still have a chance to jump up to that 5th seed. So they're going to try to win every game. He's going to try to get those triple doubles. I did see he was 1 rebound short, and he was really trying to get that 10th rebound.
Yeah.
The thing with the Thunder, though, is they have 4 games left and 3 are on the road. But the positive for them is it's at the Suns, at the Nuggets, at the T-Wolves, and then home against the Nuggets. Phoenix one they should get, and the Phoenix team is one where you can pretty much do whatever you want against them. So, you know, expect that to be like a 120 to 105 game where Russ gets his triple-double there. If he doesn't get that, then I don't know about at Denver, but at Minnesota definitely, and then a home game, he can do whatever. So he might get it by 2, really.
And I'm going to say, yes, he'll break the record. Mr. MVP, Russell Westbrook, he'll break the record.
Well, that was my next question. Are you giving the MVP to Russ, or is there any case that you want to make for James Harden still? Or Kawhi Leonard, or LeBron, or anyone else for that matter?
I've said Russ all season. I'm sticking with Russ.
Yeah, I got to stick with Russ. I think he will average a triple-double. He will break the record. And one thing that I thought interesting that was brought up by, I think it was Brian Windhorst, he said that whenever he talks to ex-players, they all think it should be Westbrook, that what he's doing is just that amazing. Now, the votes are with the media, and since they took away local media votes, that really narrows the pool. And the last straw poll I saw had Harden way ahead. But I think when it comes down to the end of the regular season and they see Westbrook broke the record and they're still sitting at a decent spot, probably the 6th seed, but 6th seed is okay. I mean, to get the 6th seed, they'll probably finish with 48 wins. So maybe Russ does ultimately pull it off.
Okay. Let's jump to something else. University of Utah was in the news for having the first varsity esports team, I believe it was. Is that something that we'll see more colleges follow, do you think? Or is this really much ado about nothing?
I don't think it's anything right now. Maybe in a few years it will be.
I would agree with that.
So just kind of ahead of the trend?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's nice, but it needs to grow.
Okay. This would have been a good transition, but we'll touch on it now. I believe Georgetown got a new head coach for their men's basketball team. Yeah, it was. Hoya's got a new head coach, a familiar person.
Oh, yeah, that's right, Patrick Ewing.
Yes. What do you think of the move? He's overdue, isn't he, for a coaching spot?
Oh, he's way overdue. To be a head coach in the NBA forever, and he has been bouncing from assistant coach job to assistant coach job. God, how long ago did he retire? I mean, it seems like it's been a good 15 years that he's been trying to get that. So I think this is a really good move for him. Take that head coaching job in college and really rack up your resume there. And he might ultimately decide he likes college more, but I think if he goes to Georgetown and, you know, he goes to the tournament a couple years in a row, maybe then someone in the NBA will give him a chance. Or he might realize that, you know what, in college, the coach is the star, and he might just get fat and happy there and decide this is where I just want to be until I retire.
Alan,
I don't have much to add to that. I don't have a problem with the signing. I don't have a problem with it at all. So I have to apologize because in case our listeners might have heard it, R2-D2 made an entrance in on our conversation there because my phone rang. So R2-D2 was part of the Jedi and Germs show tonight.
That's expensive. Do you know how much that costs?
I'm just saying.
Do you know how much that's going to run us? We don't have the budget for that, Alan.
Yeah, well, R2 does his own thing. He hops in. That's just how it works. So
okay. You know, I don't know that I have much else. I mean, the Masters is coming up, I think, in the next week.
I just saw something today, too, where Dustin Johnson took a fall. And it could affect whether or not, because the Masters starts, by the time everybody listens to this, we'll be into the first round. And I saw something, I retweeted something from SportsCenter today that said Dustin Johnson took a fall. So.
He did. He did. And he was favored to win.
Yeah.
Let me find it real quick because I did see something about that.
I didn't see exactly what happened or whether he'll still be good to go tomorrow or today by the time everybody listens. But I did see that he, you know, had a bit of a bump fall.
See, this is what happens when we do it live.
Yep.
Took a serious fall on the staircase. He's hurt.
Lower back injury. Ooh, that's...
Yeah, that's not good for a golfer. Lower back is not good. Well, it's not for anyone, but golfers in particular. That, you know, Devin, you've gone golfing. I've gone golfing. John, I'm sure you've been golfing. That lower back,
yeah.
It's not a good thing to hurt when you're wanting to swing off the tee with your club. So
yeah, it looks like they don't know if he's going to be able to play on Thursday. Yeah, we'll have to see.
And he would have been, the favorite. So, and he was the favorite, yep. I believe. So,
one last thing, one last quick hit while I'm thinking about it. A certain quarterback is leaving the NFL and joining CBS as a broadcaster.
Oh, yes.
Mr. Tony Romo leaving the Cowboys. Right move for him?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah,
and I'm thrilled that Phil Simms is getting demoted. So, I'm glad that. We'll have Romo's voice.
So we'll be hearing more of Tony Romo and less of Phil Simms. Okay, then.
I was just bored with Phil Simms. I'm glad they're changing that up.
Well, yeah. You never know. I mean, Romo might do okay for the first half of the season, and then he'll turn it over to him in the second half. See what I did there?
Wow. All right. That's it for quick hits.
Yeah, we're done.
I have one quick hit to add. I should have shown this to you ahead of time. Today on the Players Tribune, this was sent to me via tweet from our good friend Dallas Wood earlier, one of our listeners. Kenyon Martin wrote a piece for the Players Tribune. The first line actually ended up being the title. It says, "I don't think losing bothers guys in the NBA now." Talked about, he says, "I'm a sore loser and I was there to win." He called out today's NBA players with... less interested in winning and more interested in the accolades and the records and things like that rather than winning ball games. Do you agree or no?
I agree, but I also think that the way they've been making rules in the NBA and the way they've been instructing refs, that they're trying to breed out that ultra competitiveness, by which I mean Kenyon was a hard hitter. Kenyon
yes.
didn't mind hitting guys, and you just can't do that anymore.
Right.
And I think as the guys come up, they're learning that you just can't do anything, or you will get attacked, you will get ejected, you will get suspended. And there are things that Kenyon Martin was able to do in his day that you just could not get away with now. There are things that he would do that would be like, oh, that's a hard foul. You do that now and you're ejected.
Devin?
So it's part of that.
Devin, you have any thoughts on that?
I disagree completely.
With Kenyon?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think John's right. There's a certain change in the attitude of the league, but I think that the guys are still just as competitive. Yes, there may be a little bit more interest for some of them in trying to reach these milestones. You know, kind of like what you're seeing with Westbrook. But the fact of the matter is, if Russell isn't doing that, are the Thunder winning more games? I don't think so.
No, they're not.
You know, I can just tell you from my perspective that when I go play ball, you know, a pickup game, I'm ultra competitive about it. and I have nothing invested in it. I have no fans. It has nothing to do with any money that I'm ever going to get. That is just me being who I am. And you've got to think, these guys got to care about winning. Are you kidding me?
I agree. I actually have to take a step back. The actual title of the article were "The Five Guys Everybody Hated Playing Against." So that was the opening argument in his article. But then he named five players, and Jazz fans, you're going to want to hear this, five players that he hated playing against. And I don't know that he put them in particular order, but he listed them. One was Reggie Evans. Okay. Kobe Bryant made the list. Ron Artest made the list. Kevin Garnett. Guess who the number five person he mentioned was not a player? Jerry Sloan.
Jerry Sloan.
In fact, let me read his words on Jerry Sloan. I feel bad about it now, but you might remember that I once hit Karl Malone upside the head. He went down hard. Given his reputation as a tough guy, I thought he was going to get up and we were going to get in it, get it on. But he didn't do anything. His coach did, though. Jerry Sloan ran down the sideline screaming, "What the hell? I'm going to kick your bleep." I was surprised. I was like, "Whoa, sit your old bleep down before I hit you too." We got into it, and they had to separate us. That was when I realized that Jerry Sloan was a tough dude. Years later, he was still coaching the Jazz, and I was a free agent. They wanted to get me. He told my agent that story. "Remember when Kenyon said he'd kick my bleep? Now's his chance." I respect everyone on this list. I should be on this list. I was the most extra. That's how he finished off the article. Quite the list. Any other players maybe that were left off, or is that what do you think that says about the level of respect that one Kenyon Martin had for Jerry Sloan?
Yeah, I love that article, and I'd recommend everyone go read it, because that anecdote about Sloan is the best.
Oh, it's fantastic. So, thanks Dallas for bringing that to my attention earlier this afternoon. I enjoy the Players Tribune because it's a great place for players to write, and you get them raw. You get them how they're feeling, and it's a good place to go. So, if you haven't read it, I will have it retweeted by the time you're listening to this show. Go back, check my timeline, and give it a read. It is worth it. It's worth every minute of your time. Did we get any listener questions?
Yes, although I don't understand some of them.
Okay.
Agent J asks, who will win next on the Jedi Zog ticket sweepstakes?
Those are chosen at random. Our lawyers told us we have to say that, and that's all we can say about it.
Is that Jared we're talking about here?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
And then there's one from Blaine. I'm not sure what this there's a typo in his question, so I'm not sure. Okay, I'll just skip it. And then Jared's other question, which is, do any of you feel the stay word billboard is kind of a waste? I saw that they're did a GoFundMe to get a billboard that says stay word for Hayward, trying to encourage him to stay. I also saw that shortly after that, and it's probably a coincidence, but Hayward asked people to donate to this family going through cancer or something like that. And so it created this little debate on, should you send money for a billboard or maybe send it to charity? And then there are people like, well, you could do that with anything. Should you go see a movie or should you give that money to charity? You know, I personally think that the fact the stay word billboard made news is good enough.
I agree.
I wouldn't donate to it, but I like the gesture.
No, I agree with that. Did you happen to see, there's been a few folks on Twitter have fun with that too. They've added different pictures. Like there's one with Jim here. I think that was one that I saw. Yeah. Was it Jody put out there? And then there's one where Jody put his, or somebody put, yeah, it was somebody else put Jody's picture Jody. Over Hayward. Huh?
Yeah, I saw that one.
Yeah. There's been some funny ones come out of this. I think it's been kind of fun, and the fact that it made news, I think, is pretty fun. I don't think it's necessary, nor is the GoFundMe necessary, because, I think Gordon Hayward's going to re-sign with the Jazz regardless. And two, Why? Just, I mean, it's fun to talk about, but let's not do a GoFundMe, please. Just, I don't know. Devin?
Yeah.
I don't like it.
You don't like it? Not even for fun.
Well, he didn't like it. All right, next topic.
I don't like it. No, I mean, it's fine. It's fun, whatever, but it's not going to make any difference. Okay. You know, it is what it is. I don't think it's going to convince him. And if he doesn't stay, what are you going to replace the billboard with another one?
Right.
That says go away word or, you know, betray word. Or what are we doing from here? If he doesn't stay, that is going to be like the saddest day for any team fan. It's going to be like when LeBron left Cleveland and they had to paint over the wall. Or take down the sign or whatever was going on. You're gonna have that with this billboard.
I don't know
that he's going anywhere.
I think you're onto something there. I like the go wayward. In fact, we might as well just have a Kansas song segue in on that. Carry on my wayward son.
To do that, you know, there's a lot of ways we could do this.
Go ahead, John. What's the next line of that song?
There'll be peace when you're in Boston.
John always jumps in and sings with us on that, man. I can tell he wants to move on. Okay, fine.
I went to that concert, but yeah, I'm ready.
Okay, fine. All right. Well, that's it. Let's move to pop culture. What do we got this week?
I saw Ghost in the Shell, which was the live-action remake of a Japanese animated movie from 1995. Which was based on a manga. It had some controversy once it came time for the release because they changed the race of some of the main characters. You know, obviously in Ghost in the Shell, all the characters are Japanese, but when they remade it, they Americanized it. And so some of the characters are Japanese, but most of the main ones were changed to Caucasian.
Right.
Personally, I guess it bugs some people, especially the past few years. I think if you're remaking a movie, it's okay. I don't remember people having this big a problem when they remade The Ring or The Eye or any of those, but okay. I get it bugs some people.
Okay.
I understand it because I don't think that movie gets greenlit unless they have a star. And Scarlett Johansson is one of the more reliably bankable actresses out there.
In fact, I believe, according to our good friends at the movie zone, I think they said she was the number one grossing actor last year.
I would say that Jennifer Lawrence is probably number one and Scarlett's number two.
Okay.
When it comes to bankability for actresses.
Right.
Anyway, when I was watching the movie, it just kind of made me wish I had just watched the original again. There are some really cool visuals in it, but it's like instantly forgettable as soon as it's over. One thing that really amused me is Takeshi Tsukano is in it, and he's one of Japan's biggest stars, and he only speaks Japanese and everybody else speaks English. But the way they do it is everyone just seems to understand what he's saying, and then he seems to understand what everyone else is saying. And I think Takeshi Tsukano just didn't want to phonetically say his lines in English. And they're like, well, we really want this guy, so we're just going to do it this way. I was amused by that all of his lines were in Japanese. And you know, it's kind of like Chewbacca, where he just says stuff you don't understand, but everyone around him apparently does. So I was like, all right, that's an interesting choice. But there was just kind of a hollowness to it where, you know, it's kind of slow and mopey, and it just worked much better in animated form and just the original. So, you know, some of these live action remakes of animated movies, some work better than others. This was one where, you know, it wasn't bad, but by the time it was over, it was like, didn't feel necessary. It just felt like, you know, if I come out of there just wanting to see the original again instead, then you haven't done your job.
All right. Well, your review is not far distant from what I've heard from quite a few others who have seen it as well. So I guess if you like Scarlett Johansson, it's worth it just for her, though, right? Yes?
She's good. You know, it's a good performance, and she's good in action, but yeah.
All right.
Wait for Blade Runner.
Okay. There you go. I could do that. anything else? A movie? I haven't seen any movies this week. I haven't got out to the theater in a couple weeks, so I'm overdue. Anything else?
Nope.
What about TV? Any new Netflix series? Any Netflix series, TV series, things you've seen recently that you want to recommend?
I haven't started anything new yet. I'm still going through Iron Fist right now. I will say that the season finale of The Walking Dead I thought was really good, and you know, this has been the most controversial season. The season opener, my wife got up and left the room, and she hasn't watched the show since. And you can tell from the ratings that there were a lot of people who just decided that was it; they weren't going to watch anymore. And it was rough the first few episodes. It wasn't that entertaining. You're just kind of watching psychological torture. But I think it's really redeemed itself. In this second half of the season, it's become more entertaining. It's become more hopeful. It hasn't been nearly as just nasty and mean as the beginning of the season, and I think that's for its benefit. It ended on a somewhat hopeful note that people are going to be able to fight back against the saviors. And so I've really enjoyed – I'm personally glad I stuck with it, because I've really enjoyed – you know, I like a lot of these characters, and I like where it's going, and – so I was pleased with the season finale and looking forward to the next season.
Okay. I haven't been able to catch up on much otherwise myself. My daughter, I'll give a review from my 17-year-old point of view. She got into, and I think I've brought this up, 13 Reasons Why. A book that she's read countless times, and she has now watched the series on Netflix. Watched it with my wife, and they both seem to it's a very powerful story with a powerful message. So it might be worth the time to look at. I still need to watch it, but it is about a young gal who committed suicide, and prior to doing so, created 13 I want to say their video messages to give to 13 people who all she felt were instrumental in her reason for killing herself. And it's very powerful, very deep. My daughter, it really, really took to it. And again, my wife watched it with her, and they both have indicated it's worth the time to watch. So, it's a short series, produced by Selena Gomez. Worth the time, I'm hearing, worth the time to watch. So if you're looking for something new on Netflix, if you think you can stomach a little bit of a story about suicide, that might be worth your time.
Very cool.
So, Devin, you got anything to add?
Watch the Grimm series finale. I think I brought that up last week, that it was coming up. Honestly, was disappointed. A little bit, you know, you're bummed that the series is over and then it just ends on a note that you feel didn't quite live up to how you felt it should have ended. But I mean, it was okay. Other than that, just the same old, same old. There's nothing fantastic that's jumped out at me.
I will say the Better Call Saul season 3 is going to start soon. So if you haven't gotten on board, the first two seasons are on Netflix, I think. So, good show.
All right. Well, as of this very moment, for those who, again, you want to go back and check out the Players Tribune article, I have retweeted it, so check it out. All right. Let's wrap this baby up. Thank you for joining us for yet another episode of Jedi and Germs. We appreciate you riding along with us. Season's coming to a close. Playoffs are around the corner. We've still got plenty of show coming for the next few weeks. So if you want to catch up on our latest and greatest old episodes, you can find us blogtalkradio.com/JediandGerms, TornbySports.com, and anywhere you listen to podcasts, Jedi and Germs. Thank you for joining us. We'll look for you again next week. John, take us out.
Bye, everybody.